In Jesus' name tonight, glad to be here with you again. God bless you for coming out. I know it's a Saturday evening and you have important things to do, and good for you for coming out tonight. I would like tonight to have just a very short children's class. And so children that usually come to children's class of those ages, just come forward and stand right in this area, right here. The shortest in the front, please. So children, you can come and stand here. And the shortest ones of you in the front. You just stand right in this area here so that you can see, okay? Good. Zachary came tonight too. Good. Come a little closer, those of you that are over there. All right. This is my friend Chester. I brought him along to church tonight. Chester the Cam. I want you to watch him and tell me what he does, okay? You watch real close. Can you all see over there? Just get so you can see, all right? Stop, Chester. Come back, Chester. Can we try it again? Stop, Chester. Come back. What do you think? What kind of a can is Chester? Any ideas? Uh-huh.
A can of
animal in it. Good. Excellent. That's a very good answer. All right. I want some more of you to guess. All right. Let's go again. Stop, Chester. Come back. Any other ideas what kind of a can Chester is?
Obedient.
Now, do you stop when your dad says stop? I don't know your name, but do you stop? I shouldn't ask this kind of question, should I? That's what you should do. Do you know what? When we were talking tonight, when Leland was reading, and by the way, I'll show you about him later, okay? He's got some special things, something special inside of him that makes him obey every single time. Unless it breaks what's inside of him. I'll tell you about it. It's not an animal. But there is something inside of Chester. But did you know that the Bible has a promise? God promised you something. Did you know that? How many of you know the verses in Ephesians 6, the first verses? What if we try to say them? You say them if you know them. Actually, whoever knows them can say them with us. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Do you know what that says? That says that God is promising you something. Now, is God big? Can he do what he says? So if he promises you something, will he do it? But what does he say you should do first? Obey your parents. And then there's a promise to you. I want you to remember that. Ever get discouraged about obeying? It's hard work to obey. You know what? I know how it goes. When you just want to do something, that's right when Dad says stop. Isn't that the way it works? And that's just the way it works. Our Dad says, no, you can't do that. Or go do this. Or Mom. I want you to remember that God has a promise for you if you do what your parents say. If you obey them, God has a very special promise for you. You know what else? If you're going to obey them, you have to be happy while you're doing it. Don't like it. Alright? So I want you to remember that promise. A very important promise. Thank you for coming. You can go back to your parents now. Tonight I'd like to talk especially to the youth, and I'll let everybody else listen in. We're all young. I feel like I'm 25 and holding. I don't know how long that's going to last, but I feel very youthful. A lot of times, sometimes not as much as I used to. But some things, I do have a great love for youth, and I love to see youth that are serving God.
It does not make you perfect people. It does not make you people without mistakes. It makes you people that are walking on a pathway. And sometimes that pathway has places where you trip, and sometimes there's difficulties. Many times there is. But youth that are serving God is very, very beautiful, as is everybody else. But there's something about youth that are serving God that's a little extra special. Our world looks on and says, you know what, these men here ought to serve God. They're old enough to do it. And they look at the older ladies and they say, it's for the grandmas and for the moms. But they look at the youth and they say, go ahead and sow your wild oats. You can do it later. And when you take God at His word and do what He says now, there's a very special witness and a very special beauty in that. And God bless you for it. A number of you youth were in Los Angeles this spring in April. And you'll know the story I'm going to tell. It really impressed me. We were standing singing there. And a man came by and wanted to talk. And he said, may I ask you a question? And he did not ask the question I expected him to. But he asked, I'm going to rephrase it a little because I think it sounds better. But he asked this question. He said, what is the percentage of chastity of your youth? And I said, we expect 100%. And he said, that's beautiful. That is just amazing in our culture. He said, our culture doesn't expect that. That is an amazing thing. If you're expecting that, that is amazing. But he said something more, and that's a credit to serving God. And I would like, it humbled me to hear him say it. He said, I can see it. I can see it in the way you stand, in the way you dress, in your bearing in life, as you stand on the streets. That was quite a testimony, youth. And I think that it was for you. He was not saying that to me. He was saying that as he observed you, especially, youth. And I want you to remember that. Tonight, what we're going to talk about is the joy and blessing of purity in your youth. And I'd like to think about it as a pathway. Now, as we talk of this, I want to start out with this thought, that sometimes there's failures, and sometimes there's people who are discouraged. And I don't want you to feel discouraged tonight, because God has a way from no matter where you start. God will take you right now from right here. And there are those who have failed in some way, and who have gone on with God and have been forgiven and cleansed. We all are, by the way. If we're walking with God, we're forgiven and cleansed. And that's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that. But tonight, when we're talking about this subject, it's also a burden on my heart that you understand a few things about a path that can be a path of blessing. And so while I don't want to discourage anyone who has struggled, who has failed, there is a starting point. I also want you in your youth especially to realize that you can walk with God. You don't have to commit sin first and live with that. You can choose to walk with God right from the start. And that's what I would like to encourage as we look tonight, especially in the thought of purity. That's a good subject for all of us. We all need it. Why do we focus on youth and these kind of subjects? It's just simply because youth is a time of watershed. Decisions that you make today, as youth especially, are going to affect the rest of your life. And that's the reason we focus on these principles apply to all of us. But especially for youth, there is a beauty in that. I'd like to read a poem to you tonight. And this is the burden I have at heart, and I'd like to share it with you. He stood at the crossroads all alone, the sunlight in his face. He had no thought for an evil course. He was set for a manly race. But the road stretched east and the road stretched west, and he did not know which road was best. So he took the wrong road, and it led him down. And he lost the race and the victor's crown. He was caught at last in an angry snare, because no one stood at the crossroads there to show him a better way. Another day, at the selfsame place, a boy with high hope stood. He too was set for a manly race. He was seeking the things that were good. And one was there who the roads did know, and that one showed him the way to go. So he turned away from the road leading down, and he won the race and the victor's crown. He walks today on the highways fair because one stood at the crossroads there to show him a better way. Now that's the burden in my heart tonight. I can't say everything tonight. I'd like to just share a few principles with you youth especially that I think would be a help to show you the better way. And that's what we want to look at. You know, don't forget what we just had in devotions about God and obeying God and trusting Him. That's where it starts. And that thought of faith. I'd like you to turn with me to several verses tonight. We'll start with 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now what we're going to do tonight is, I'm going to back up a little bit. We're not going to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Yes, we will. Sorry. We'll start with 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And what we're going to do is look at these verses at the start. We'll probably use the Bible a little less tonight. I'm going to just talk very candidly from my own experience in life, as limited as it is. And we'll read these verses first and keep them in mind then later as we're talking. 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you. Now the verse ahead of this lists a lot of sins and sinful behavior. And then it says here, and this is a believer's testimony. And such were some of you, but you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. It's a beautiful verse that anyone, everyone who believes in Jesus can claim. And one that we do claim from wherever we come in life. Going on then to verse 19. And this is now talking about walking and living. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we have this thought back here of being washed and cleansed. And Jesus has washed you. He's made you clean, and you can start living for Him. Now He says you're not your own anymore. You're bought. And so glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The idea of a temple, your body being a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses 1 through 7. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. And so what it's telling us here is that God has a high standard. God has high expectations. I want to tell you something that you should understand, especially youth. God's high expectations are your blessing. God's high expectations are not to withhold something from you. They're your blessing. And if you can just understand, I hope to emphasize this at another time, but if you can just understand that God is good And anything he asks is good. It may be hard sometimes, but it is good. And if you can understand that, it will help you a lot. If you can accept that by faith, it will help you a lot in life. All right. I think we're going to stop with those passages and just keep them in mind. And just briefly, quickly, in introduction, yet, there was a Spanish explorer, I believe he explored in Florida, and he was looking for something. He wanted to find the Fountain of Youth. If he could just drink at the Fountain of Youth, then he would be satisfied, he thought, because he was supposed to stay young always. And in some ways, tonight, I'd like you to think of the blessings that God has given you as a fountain of youth. And God wants you to save that. He wants you to use it. He wants to bless you with it. And just think of that, the blessing that God has given you. All right, let's look at some principles tonight that relate to keeping this joy and blessing of purity in your youth and relate to all of life as a youth as you serve God. These are not necessarily in order of importance, and yet I've somewhat ordered them by importance, if you can understand that. And I'm not going to do too much explaining here, but the first one I have on my list is honor your parents. Now there's your relationship with God really is more important. But there's something about honoring your parents that comes first. And I don't know how to explain all that. You might have to accept it. But it's a principle that God has laid out. I'd like you to think about it tonight. And that is, I talked to the children about obeying and honoring. And I didn't explain to them what honoring was. I wanted to. But the best definition I can think of honoring, especially thinking of small children and even as we grow up, as for small children, the best way I could think of honoring your father or mother is to do what they say, what you know they want you to do, even when they're not watching. That's honoring them. That's an obedience that goes beyond just doing it because Dad sees me right now. And that's a thought of honoring. I'm thinking especially of smaller children. That same thought carries through. And honoring has to do with respecting. It has to do with all of that. Youth, relationship with your parents is a very big factor in your life. And that starts before you make a commitment to Christ, and it carries on through after. It doesn't stop. It's a principle that carries through. And I really think that in the battle that we have with purity, honoring your parents, we can walk past it sometimes and we can miss it. But I really think it's connected. If you will accept and you will obey and you'll honor your parents and you make that your goal and you do your part of a relationship with your folks, it will stand you in good stead to fight the battles of the mind. There is a connection. I firmly believe there's a connection. It is not a scepter you can wave that's magic. That's not my point here. I'm saying it will put you in a good place to fight those battles. And I'll explain that in just a little bit here. Proverbs 23, and I'm not going to read these verses for sake of time, but Proverbs 23:23-28 talks about that. And it talks about that connection. And actually, Proverbs talks about it quite a bit. And the writer says, "My son, listen to my advice. Don't go this way, but go this way." And then he talks about seeking wisdom, etc., especially as it relates to moral purity. We know those verses from the book of Proverbs. All right, some practical things here. One of the memories I cherish is a time of confessing a temptation to my dad and him praying with me. That is a very, very special memory in my mind. And I don't know You know, I think of that and I wonder of how my life would have been different if I hadn't had that. Not everything was perfect between my dad and I all the time. But I'm glad for that. And it's not just a memory. There's something there that I'm very happy for. You know, another thing is, and that is that most parents that I know of are very happy, youth, if you get godly advice from somebody else too. I've not run across parents, I don't know if I ever have, who say, "Now just only listen to our godly advice. Don't listen to anybody else's." Most parents are very happy for you to get good advice and godly advice from other people. But be careful where you get it from. And here is a point that I think comes back to this thing of honoring your parents. Don't, fellows, don't get your advice from the girls your age. And girls, don't get your advice from the fellows your age. Now, brothers and sisters can give some advice. I had some good advice from sisters. I had a lot of sisters. But what I'm saying is sometimes you think, the older people don't understand me. I'll talk to, and for some reason, fellows, sometimes it's easier to talk to the girls and tell them how we feel about this and that and so forth. And the same thing over here. And we'll get advice back and forth. That's not a good pattern. It's not wise. And you would be better, fellows, to go to an older fellow and say, "Here's my struggle." And girls, to go to an older sister and say, "Here's my struggle." Or back to your parents, even better. What really gets in trouble is when you're not getting along with your parents, and you're not getting along with your parents, and so you talk to each other and commiserate about how your parents are. Don't do that. That's my advice. Don't do that. If you're in that kind of a pattern, I think you should stop. In the things of moral purity, I'm a young father, but it's my vision that it's good for dads to help their children, their sons, navigate that, and it's good for moms to help their daughters navigate that. That isn't always the case, and it isn't an absolute it has to be. That's not my point. Other people can help. I know of situations where I believe it's a very, very blessed father, but it just isn't, he wasn't taught that way, and he just has a hard time doing it. Other people can help, but I still think, if you can, fathers, help them. And if you can, mothers, help them. It takes relationship to do that, I really believe. All right, so while we're on this, one other thing I'd like to, and this is just an observation, and I'm not sure. I'm a little unsure of this, but I'm going to share it as an observation. That is, and this is turning it around to parents now. I think accurate trust is a good thing to aim for with youth. Jason, when you work with young people at Bible school, is trust an important thing on your part? It is important, isn't it? I think it's very important. And some of us have had the blessing of going to Bible school. I remember that. I was basically trusted. It felt good. My motives were trusted. And youth respond well to that. But there's another side. I don't give my hunting rifle to my 5 or 6 year olds, or 4 year old especially, and say, "There you go, go use it." Because that's not accurate trust. You don't trust the Bible school students with just anything, do you, Jason?
No.
What I'm saying here is, I think we do well to try to give accurate trust. I don't know of too many armies that take the newest ones on camp and say, "Go fight." Put them on the front lines and retire back from them and say, "Go ahead, do your best. You'll make out." And sometimes We all fail. And sometimes youth fail. And they need help at that point. When I fail, I need help at that point. And so do you. And it's not accurate trust to say, well, it's okay, somehow they'll figure it out, and not do anything about it. This is really a burden on my heart. And I think also another thing that sometimes we're so busy. I was talking with a father recently, and there was a particular situation. And I told him, I said, you know, I think that something should be done within 2 weeks. Because that situation will harden. And there won't be a receptiveness to something. Right now is the time. There's a soft heart. We should do something right now. And bless him, he said, yes, I think that's right. But what I'm saying is an accurate trust that is willing to invest right there, right now, and say, here, let me help you. Let me walk alongside. You go back to the picture of the army. They put their seasoned soldiers besides the one that isn't. Do you understand what that's doing? And sometimes I'm afraid we get this idea that we like to talk trust, and it sounds nice. But I'm a little afraid sometimes that we're just expressing wishful thinking. That we wish something would be different. And we wish it would happen. And I'm especially talking to parents and to ones that are helping. By all means, extend accurate trust. And look for that. You know, neither is it wise if when they're 17, you're still holding the hunting rifle. If you take them hunting. I keep talking hunting. You're going to think that's a train of thought. Maybe you're right. All right. Next one I have on my list is relationship with God. Now, this really, in a lot of ways, should be first. But this really works in together with honoring your parents. You know, forgiven and empowered to serve God, there is no better testimony that you can have as a youth or anyone else. Forgiven and empowered to serve God. What a joy. What a joy it is. And that awareness of God, like Joseph had, when he said, how can I do this thing and sin against God? He had his awareness right up front. That's beautiful. And that's what I'd like to encourage. But you know, even when you fail, when you stumble, do you have an awareness of God? And can you see that He wants to help you? Sometimes the whole thing of failure can turn into a cycle of shame. And that should not be either. Because God isn't that way. He loves you. He's not waiting for you to fail. He wants to help you make it. And I realize we have misconceptions on that many times. But in the struggles that you have, understand that God is wanting you to succeed. Understand that, have a God awareness in your life. Have a relationship with Him. And you'll never regret. I don't believe you'll ever regret establishing that kind of priority in your life. Establishing those kind of priorities in your life will serve you very well all the way through. As long as you stick with it. All right, third one then is, do you have a sense of purpose in your life? Youth, do you have a sense of purpose? We went canoeing this summer. A couple of us fathers took our children. We went canoeing. We went down a river, and there were some rapids. And some of you have canoed, and you know what I'm talking about. Rough water. That canoe, if you take two canoes, and one you just sit in. No, you don't do anything. You just sit in the canoe. What's the first thing a canoe will do, or a kayak, in rough water? What's the first thing it wants to do? Any takers, fellas?
Turn.
Go ahead. You're in finish.
And flip over.
Turn sideways and flip over. You know what? the first thing a boat like that wants to do is turn sideways. And then you know the next part. It's a much higher risk of tipping in if you're sideways to the current than if you're going down the current. Now, I've likened this a little bit to drifting in life versus having a purpose. That canoe that has a purpose is cutting through the water. The person that's just at loose ends, just putting in time, is drifting. This way, that way. And if you wanted to get a picture of that, turn to James 1, where it says an unstable man who's like a wave of the sea going this way and that way. Now, none of us can afford that, really. Comes right down to it. None of us can afford that. But youth, you're facing some critical decisions. And it's not a good time to drift. It's not a good time to drift. And so my question is, do you have a purpose? The first two points of a relationship with God and honoring your parents are the background for this point. And they form a framework for you. But further, and I'll just give my own experience, and I don't know how this all happened. I don't really feel like I planned it. I feel like God blessed me in this, and it was a blessing to me. I had a purpose that I wanted to spend some time giving some time. I didn't go as a school teacher at that point. In fact, as I was held back from it because of some family situations, some people close to me that got sick kept me from doing it. Lost my father before I went and accomplished this purpose. But I had a purpose of spending some time far away, a different country, giving some of my time as my youth. And I intended to do that before I got married. Now, this isn't for everybody. I understand that. But you know, as I look back, that did something for me. I was not drifting in those years. Now, that won't accomplish everything, but you need a purpose. You need a purpose. And something like that, a goal to accomplish, can be a purpose in your life. And a lot of other things. But serving God is the big thing. But some of these little details work out. And you need a purpose, so keep a purpose. Also, that something that impacted me, and I realize, again, I want to be careful with this because everybody's experience is a little different. Don't try to copy me, okay? That isn't going to work. But I did have advice from at least one of my older sisters on how to relate to the girls, or how not to, probably, more like it. I feel like that had an impact on me. And probably made me a little more careful. I don't know. And so I'm just saying some of that was a purpose, and some of it kind of kept me from some experiences, perhaps, that I'm glad I didn't have to have. And we'll just say it that way. I don't regret spending those years in that way. All right, the next one is, watch what you feed on. What is your diet, youth? What are you eating? I don't mean food now. I mean, in a spiritual sense, your minds. What are you feeding upon? And here's a thought for you. Maybe you think you're too young to study the words. And I remember one Bible school teacher saying to me, he said, it's time you start studying. I don't mean just reading, I mean digging. I was pretty young. But he had a good point. Dig into it. There's no better time to start than right now. And there's no better diet to have than the Word of God. And I remember my dad saying, I love reading my Bible. And I was like, because I didn't. But you won't get that appetite if you don't exercise it. There is another saying I'd like you to remember, and that is, he who is a slave to the compass has the freedom of the seas. It's an old sailor's saying. And then somebody added a little bit on the end. The rest have to sail close to shore. What that means is if you'll take this as a compass, and if you'll put your life to it and make yourself a slave to the compass, God's compass, and you don't have to be so afraid of decisions in life. because you'll be guided by something that is a lot bigger than you are and can see a lot further than you can see. Watch what you feed on. Another personal example. I remember, and this was probably in my younger youth, I remember having a particular struggle, a temptation. And that's the same time I told you earlier, I went to my dad about that. And he prayed with me about it, but he did more than pray with me. He's put a few things together in his mind. And I was young enough in my youth that it was right for him to do that. I was not really ready. I wasn't mature enough to make some of these decisions. But he'd been getting the Time magazine. You know, today, I don't know if he stopped getting it or if he just limited my time in it. But what I was doing as a younger youth is I was opening that Time magazine up and reading it from cover to cover, including the entertainment section. And as harmless as that may sound, it had an impact on my mind. And what I'm saying is that you need to watch your diet. I think it's a good thing for us fathers to watch diets too. But you need to watch your diet as youth. Young fellows, you've heard a lot about watching your minds, watching your eyes. I'm going to say it again tonight. Do watch what you feed on. Watch what you look at. It is not hurt to put a guard. You'll never regret guarding your minds. I am happy today for the effort I put earlier into guarding my mind, places I go, guarding my eyes. You can't just fall back and relax either, but you won't be sorry. Do it today. Watch what you see. Stay away from pornography. The things that are stirred in the mind will not help you in life. Now, for the girls, for the ladies, I would say watch out for those romance novels. You say, well, why? I'm just going to explain it real briefly. One of the things that is more on this side of the house is security. And there's something about some of those books that feeds an unreal life that you'll probably never experience in real life. So there's no point in building some kind of castle in the air that is going to be of no use. In fact, it's going to be hard for you later. So keep that in mind. That's watch what you feed on. Movies are another area to avoid. You know, sometimes we get this idea. It's because something moves across the screen. No, it's not. That is addicting in itself. I understand that. But that's not what we're talking about. It's content. And it just riveted my mind again when we were in Los Angeles. That industry that's behind the movie industry is not your friend if you want to be pure. It's not your friend if you want to be God's friend. And you can't feed on what's not godly, what's ungodly, and have godly results. It just doesn't work that way. Music is another area that really falls right in the same category. And music has more to it than what meets our eyes. And we need to develop convictions. Are your convictions, is your purpose there? Is it in line with the Word of God? Are you drifting? See, these are areas where we easily drift. I'm just like you are, and I enjoy watching things and listening to things. Two. But to drift in those kind of areas is not going to help. All right, let's talk about a few pitfalls to avoid. Watch out for teasing and banter. And I know that I'm thankful for the blessings we have. Sometimes in cultures, this is worse than in other places. I've been in what is one plain culture. You're probably not associated with it here. Where there's a lot of teasing by adults of youth and pairing them up and almost so that they're very uncomfortable when they get to a certain age. That's not good. It's not healthy and it doesn't help our youth. And I would just say watch out for that. Be careful, youth. Be careful about pairing up before you're ready for courtship. Courtship is a beautiful time. And prepare for it. Prepare yourself for it instead of seeking out others. And it's kind of pointless to pretend that you're courting when you're not ready yet. You may as well have a purpose, another purpose, and keep on. Communications. And here we have this wonderful thing called texting. And it's very handy to text information sometimes. I use it sometimes. But there's something about texting between fellows and girls that breaks down a natural reserve that ought to be there. And I don't understand it, why it is, but it happens. I'm going to talk about that reserve in just a little bit. I'm not going to make it my subject right now, but it's not a good idea. Be very, very careful. I'd say just don't do it. That's safer. All right, some things I would tell you youth to do. My advice. Go to Bible school. Jason is looking forward to having you there. Or another Bible school. Go to Bible school. That was something, in my experience, that was a tremendous blessing to me. I don't know if I can add up how much of a blessing I feel I experienced in my life from going to Bible school. Give some time in voluntary service. Give some time to the work of God. It's not all about making money. It's not all about, life isn't all about having a girlfriend and getting married. Those are beautiful things. I'm very happy I did those things. But life at your stage isn't all about that. It'd be a very good thing to give some time in voluntary service. Teach school. If you have the aptitude to teach, teach school. You'll learn some things teaching school that you won't if you don't. And you might get the aptitude to teach if you try it. Anyway, that's enough salesmanship on that. Keep occupied with godly pursuits and worthwhile interests. That's important. Keep occupied. It's not a good time at youth. It's not a good time any time, but it's not a good time at youth to just be, what shall I do next? It's a good time to be occupied in worthwhile pursuits. Learn a foreign language. Now that fits in with going somewhere, but do it. It's hard work. Do it. You'll never regret doing something like that. And you won't get any younger. It won't be any easier to do it. Exercise yourself in Bible study, prayer, and witnessing. Do it. Then I think we need to be examples, the rest of us too, of doing those things. All right, so I'd like to talk a little bit about courtship. And I realize that time is flying here. I've spent more time than I planned to already. Let me talk just a little bit about it. Courtship is a wonderful time. It's not a good time to just be floating. I really emphasize that you're entering into courtship. Have a purpose. Have a purpose. And the primary purpose I'm talking about is being right with God and serving Him. That's the kind of purpose I'm talking about. Seek God. And seek what God is saying to you in His words. It's, of all times, it's not a good time to say, well, I guess I'll do this later. I don't have time now. And there's no good time for that. But especially thinking about courtship, say to wisdom, you're my sister. Say to wisdom, you're my sister. In my own experience, it's a little different than what I don't know if any of you in this day and age, we'll experience what some of us old-timers experienced when we started courting. I'm not very old. But I waited for an answer to know whether I was starting dating or not for over 2 weeks. Well, it was longer than that. I'd have to try to think of how long it was. Maybe it was a good 3 weeks. And that was a hard time. I was up and down and back and forth, and was this going to happen or wasn't it? But you know, in that time, I did something. I gave it to God. And I looked back at that later, and I said, you know, that's the best way to start courting, is let God have it. Now, your experience will be a little different. And especially with electronic communication, you aren't going to wait that long. I understand that. I'm not saying you have to, but in my experience, that was a blessing. And I experienced a peace from it. Here's a principle I'd like you to think about. All of our human relationships are a combination of reserve, intimacy, and trust. Those three things. Now, if you walk up to a total stranger, the intimacy is quite low. And the reserve is high. And it ought to be that way. When a complete stranger acts like he's just very, knows you so good, you're like, no. He must be a salesman. Now, in a close relationship like marriage, there is much, much less reserve, and the intimacy is very high. It ought to be that way. And there is a healthy trust. That is a healthy relationship in marriage. Now, in courtship, you should start with a lot of reserve. And with communication, that will change. It's going to come down. That's good. But don't push it too fast. Let it take its time. I think that's wise. Let it take its time. Don't push it too fast. Let it, remember that. What you're aiming for in courtship is to know if God can approve and if you are interested in a lifelong union between the two of you. That's the most important question to answer. And you should think about that ahead of time. Ian, I'd like to just make a few comments because I don't know how you feel about it. You probably have it as somewhat of a standard. I don't know, but we talk about hands-off courtship. And I feel sometimes like some of these things are falling through the cracks. And we're losing the principles behind it. We don't understand why, and so we aren't going to keep doing it. I'd like to talk about that just a little bit. Why is that kind of an idea important? Just explain it this way. That in courtship, you are looking to see if you're compatible. Back to what we just said, you're aiming to know if God can approve and if you're interested in a lifelong union between the two of you. Now, the most important question to answer is, are we compatible spiritually? There's three levels here we're going to look at, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Are we compatible spiritually? That's the one you want to answer. That's what you want to look at. Are we in agreement on the Word of God? Will there be just simply conflict in our belief systems, etc., our convictions, and a host of things? Now, as you're relating together, and it's a good time, I'm not up here trying to make it sound like it's not an enjoyable time. I thoroughly enjoyed dating my wife. She wasn't my wife then. It's a good time of life. But as you're relating, emotional ties will happen. What I'm here to tell you is you don't even have to worry about physical compatibility. Just leave it off the radar. It's not a worry you have to worry about. The world starts that whole process the other way around. And because they do, they never get to answering the question, are we compatible spiritually and emotionally? I want to tell you, I don't know, I'm just not going to say more about it, but just simply this. I have heard of a lot of people who had regrets from getting this backwards. And I've never heard one person who had regrets from not having physical contact in courtship. I've just not heard that. And so I just say that as, you maybe won't understand all of that, but I just say that as my perspective in that. All right, in conclusion, I feel like we kind of came down to a poor point to conclude on there. But in conclusion tonight, as you think of youth You're standing at a wonderful place in life. God has plans for you. And He wants to use you. And it's a path. I want to emphasize that. It is a path. It's not just something. You're not perfect. You're not going to do things perfect. We all made mistakes in our youth. We all have things to work through. But listen. Tonight, there is a beauty that God wants to have in your life. And He can work that. And I really want to encourage you back to those main points. Relationship with God, the compass, which is the Word, and honoring your parents. That's probably all you need to know for finding your way in your youth. May the Lord bless you, especially to the youth that were here tonight. God bless you. And it's so good to see you serving God. We'll turn the time back to you.